And now, the survival show that once survived the inauguration of the 45th president. In this episode, it's just you and I. I'm going to share my thoughts on Trump, the riots. I'll also share my 2016 gear review, 2017 survival goals, and plans for ITRH. Howdy and welcome to the Rabbit Hole's Urban Survival Podcast. This is episode number 203. I'm your host, Aaron, and you are in the rabbit hole, safe and sound. Thoughts on riots and the inauguration. So, lots of destruction, lots of idiots and morons running about. Some with anarchists' flags, and my opinion of that is that those are not anarchists. Those are dumbass, basement-dwelling fools who don't know what the hell anarchy actually is. And in general, I do kind of understand it. I do remember being a teenager, and I do remember being... Now, I was pretty much done with my angstiness by the time I was about 18 or 19, so... But I think we do have a developmental lag for some people. And those people were running around with the anarchist flags, as I said. And I think in general, people seem to conflate the concepts of chaos and anarchy. And I do remember as a teenager finding chaos very entertaining, and myself also conflating that with anarchy. The two were not the same. And all they ended up doing was creating destruction and found out... that they in fact did not have anarchy, as 217 of them were promptly arrested. Perhaps more, I think it was somewhere in that neighborhood. So they don't have anarchy. They did not get anarchy. They had and created chaos. And that was it. I'm not going to go on for too long, or I will go down a deep and dark, not so much dark, but a deep philosophical, political sort of rabbit hole on what is anarchy. But the two are not the same, and the two are not always tied together. What are my thoughts on Trump? I think I've already really kind of shared what my thoughts are on Trump. I think he's a showman. I think he's an excellent and adept showman. I think he's, I'll give the guy a chance, but I think he's going to be as much of a wiener as the rest of them. So there's that on that. And I did get a listener from down under, a brother from another mother down under, who listens to the show and wanted to know, I don't have the question directly in front of me, but it was whether or not I supported Trump. And I support him as the president. I hope he does well. I hope he does a good job. I hope he doesn't eat babies for breakfast or anything terribly weird. But in general, I don't have high hopes. And the question was whether or not we supported it, whether or not I voted for him. And the answer I gave to that person was that, and I said we in that answer, and I shouldn't have said we because that would have meant I was speaking for Jason and Jonathan, even though they're not on the show very often. When I say we, I'm usually referring to those two hooligans and cohorts and partners and shenanigans. So it should have been an I statement, and that I should have been, I do not support any living politician because I do not have faith in any of this anymore. And I really question the sense and sensibilities and morality of anybody who wants to be in charge of anyone else's life and who has a better idea for how others should live than they themselves as an individual should live. As long as they are not hurting someone else and as long as that someone else did not agree to be hurt or pleasured or tickled with a feather, whatever it is. If there's an agreement there, I don't care. I did have a brief flirtation, I will admit, with Gary Johnson this time around. It was very brief. It was right up into the moment where he opened his mouth. I thought, wow, that is not the guy I thought he was. For me, and I know for a lot of people, he very quickly tanked himself. He had no principles as a libertarian. And by principles, I mean, like, here are the 10 or 7 or whatever magic number you want to come up with. Here are the 7 core things I believe in. These are the things that by which I judge all other things. And that is how we go on and move forward. And that is how I make my decisions, by and large, with, you know, some exceptions here and there, if an exception is called for. And I never got the sense. And man, I was like, maybe he's just stoned today. The first time I heard him. No, I think he does smoke and that's fine. I actually don't care. But it was more of just, there was no principles behind his thought processes. In one instance, he would say one thing and you would say, okay, I think I get what his principles are. But then he would turn around and say other things that went against those principles, for his stance on making bakers bake cakes and things like that. And I thought, all right, well, where are your lines? I don't get what do you believe in here? And so he very quickly lost it for me. And I was just like, you know, and my first inclination to just say, I'm out. I'm not interested. I'm not choosing the lesser of two evils because, well, I think it's nonsense. So it lost it for me and I supported no one. And it would really take an awful lot at this point for me to find it valuable to support anyone politically, unless someone came out and was really like, you know what, we're going to do everything we can to get government out of your life and out of your way and make government a thing that simply defends your inalienable rights without stepping on the nuts of someone else's inalienable rights, which we can't seem to do. But it is what it is. And I hope that answers that question and shares my thoughts, because I think I've had a few other people that asked me that question. And one other super random thing. There was a typo in a recent show title, and man, oh man, people get twisted about typos. It was episode 198, and apartment had two P's in it. I apologize. Spell check doesn't always work. Autocorrect doesn't always work. Things happen. There were a few people, if you're some of the people that brought it to my attention, I'm not fussing at you at all. There was a few other people who were really kind of assholes about it. But it is what it is. I make mistakes. I'm a human being. Robbie the Robot does not always catch everything.
Warning! Biophysical experiments extremely dangerous to Earth people.
And I have a doctor's note. I cannot spell. It's a true story. Anyway, that aside, just be, you know, if you guys do find typos or something like that, sure, definitely let me know. But, you know, you don't need to be a jerk about it. Moving on past the typogate of apartments. Anyway, let's get into my personal, what's going on with my gear in 2017. I have no huge gear plans for 2017. I am actually in a phase of trying not to acquire so much gear. I am a gear junkie. I love gear. It gets me excited. I love looking at gear. I love touching gear. I love talking about gear. I love fondling gear. But I am actually trying to downsize. And one of the areas that I'm going to be downsizing personally is in my firearms collection. I have three rifles that I am going to be putting up on probably Gun Broker here soon. I always have good luck and like using Gun Broker. Not to give them big props or anything, but I do like using them. I actually have a Colt Sauer 30-06 that I am going to be getting rid of. The reason I'm sort of downsizing, these are all rifles I'm not using and I don't enjoy using necessarily. So for that reason, I'm just going to say I'm doing a little bit of downsizing and I'll probably end up getting some other things. But anyway, the Colt Sauer 30-06, why am I getting rid of that? I'm getting rid of that because it is a 30-06 and I do not find the need for a 30-06. I don't do big game hunting. A 30-06 in Texas is unnecessary for hunting deer. I also don't really hunt deer. I'm not opposed to it. It doesn't blow my skirt up. The other thing, I think the stock on it, some previous owner replaced the stock with a very nice fiberglass Macmillan stock, but by doing that, they sort of ruined the heritage of the rifle. Colt Sauer is a very small run, limited production. It is it's like the trigger is like butter. The bolt is like butter. It's a beautiful rifle, but they replaced the stock. And the stock was this, I believe it was either French walnut or American walnut. I think it was French walnut. I could be totally off base here. But anyway, and it had this beautiful Colt cap on part of the buttstock. And it was just gorgeous. But this Macmillan stock, while a great stock, is ugly. And to me, if I'm going to own a hunting rifle, I kind of want it to look like a good traditional hunting rifle. And there are a lot of people out there who really, these Colt Towers were not produced for a very long time. And there are people who are huge fans of them and really need the spare parts. So I'm going to put that bad boy up for that because, again, I'm not shooting 30-06. I would rather move to a 308, which is what we'll talk about here in a few minutes. I also have a SOCOM 2. This was a strange purchase for me. I think when I was about somewhere between 18 and 20, there was a poster for one, and it just looked like super badass. I may have been a little bit older. And at the time, I couldn't afford one, and I wasn't really big into rifles. When I started looking at various options in 308 for a kind of do-everything go-to rifle, I thought the SOCOM was really going to fit that bill. And then I got it, and it's just heavy, and it's just a little too... I don't enjoy it. And it's been kind of sitting in my safe collecting desk, and I was just really kind of hanging on to it until the elections and thinking that maybe prices would go crazy for mean-looking black rifles. And I thought, well, I'll put it on and maybe not necessarily turn a little bit of profit, because we all know I would promptly end up putting any money back into new toys. But anyway, you know, I've shot it once. I don't really care for it. It's cool, but it's kind of one of those things. I shot it once. It was like, nah, I got my money's worth out of this. And so that's going to be going away, since it has just sat in the safe for a very long time. I also have a DS Arms 18-inch FAL. Great rifle. These things are like freaking tanks. They're indestructible, super well-made, great. Another rifle that, while I do know that some people really like the FAL, for me, it just didn't blow my skirt back. And I shot it once or twice, thought, this is cool, but it's really heavy and it's just not my thing. You also can't put optics on it very easily. And it was never designed for optics. It was designed in a time when optics really just weren't a common thing. And while I don't need optics, I want the option. So that one, another one that is going to be going on. And I was also kind of holding on to it until the election, and, you know, gun prices and everything didn't do anything exciting. So anyway, that is going to be going away. And I'm doing this just because it's an overall thing, as I said a little while ago, that I'm doing a bit of downsizing just to kind of declutter a bit. One of the things I do plan on replacing what I'm doing with an 18-inch bolt-action rifle, it's probably going to be a project rifle. Most likely will be a Remington 700. It's not going to be a huge project, as there's not going to be any real gunsmithing involved, but it's more going to be tinkering and playing and getting, just having some fun with the bolt-action rifle that I like and that I think I would actually use, and that I could put a suppressor on and have some fun with. I've also recently been having a hankering for a 1911, and I may or may not do that this year. I probably won't. I'm probably going to keep talking myself out of it. I kind of hope I do, because I have a feeling it's going to be another thing that I get, play with a bit, and then it just lives in the safe. They're cool. There is that nostalgia. I grew up with a dad that had one and a grandfather who fought in two wars with one. And they're just, man, few things say Americana, like a 1911, right? And I just keep wanting one. But, and specifically, I keep having this obsession with the Springfield TRP operator, even though they put all this god-awful crap on the slide, because you knew you needed to say special response or whatever it is, operator, but it's, I don't know. I keep trying to talk myself out of it. We'll see whether or not that happens in 2017. If it does, I will give a gear review in the annual gear review show, which that kind of leads us to a gear review. And now for a quick break. Listeners, do you get at least $3 a month worth of value out of ITRH? We'd love to give you more. Visit ITRH.net to find out about membership benefits. For starters, members get access to every episode ever produced and a monthly virtual conference. That's just for starters. And it's important to note, In the Rabbit Hole is supported nearly entirely by Roving Horde Armada members just like you. That's how we pay the bills, stay on the air, keep the lights on around here. So go to ITRH.net to learn how you can become part of the ITRH Roving Horde Armada. Next up, subscribe to the show through your favorite podcast app to make sure you never miss an episode by going to intherabbithole.com/iTunes or intherabbithole.com/Stitcher or intherabbithole.com/iHeartRadio or intherabbithole.com/Google Play. Or if you are one of those weirdos who listen to the show through YouTube, you can go to intherabbithole.com/YouTube because you know what? We support weirdos. However weird you want to be, we're all about that. Now, back to the show. Like I said, I didn't end up with very much new gear this year. We had, we moved to a new house or and bought and moved into a new house. We didn't just move into it. That would be weird. We also had three weddings to the same woman and a position with a brief flirtation with a corporate job and went back to what I really love doing. So a lot of stuff going on, and I was not very focused on tinkering and fondling new stuff, but I did end up with a few new things. And the first one was the 511 Covert Messenger Bag. I had high hopes for this bag. It looks good. It does not look overly tactical. It's well made. It's well constructed. It has a CCW pouch, so it, in the front, there's a place for a gun that is a pseudo-hidden pouch. Got it and did not like it. For me, I was buying it mainly for work. I needed something that looked professional, that looked good, yet that could hold all my laptop and pens and business cards and all these other things, but that also could carry a gun that when I opened the bag wasn't just going to be immediately exposed. I liked it, but then I opened the inside of it and it was not well thought out. There's no real insides to it. It's just kind of in a very traditional sense, I guess. It is a messenger bag. And so it's just this kind of empty cavern. It was already kind of a pricey bag. So to then go out and start adding accessories to the interior to try to give pockets to it, it was just ridiculous. And it was one of those things, I got it and then I used it like twice. And then I was just like, no, this is terrible. And I just went back to a better messenger bag that I already had that is definitely not a tactical bag and just made other things. And so my overall impression of the bag was just, it was well made, but not well thought out. And it's just weird. And they touted it as this perfect bag for your submachine gun. I see that as being an extremely narrow market. I guess if I needed a messenger bag to dump my MP5 or something in, then perhaps it would do a good job. But at the same token, there was nothing on the inside to keep it from fluffing around. It was just weird. It was just a weird bag. I didn't like it. And for what it was, I really felt like it was overpriced. I'm still on the search for a good messenger bag that has a hidden CCW patch that does not look tactical. And I've been bitching about this for years. I wish someone in the market would A, understand what gray and covert actually is, and then B, design something that when you open it, it's actually tactical on the inside. Like, give me all the tactical stuff, but just on the inside. On the inside, very quietly. Okay, next. I did get a Glock 43 for myself and for the wife this past year. I love these guns. I really felt like this was a long overdue addition to the Glock line. It is the perfect size, in my opinion, for a true subcompact 9mm pistol. It works really well. It's just thick enough. It's easy to handle. I find that I am more accurate with a Glock 19 or some other compact or even full-size pistol than I am with these super micro compacts. Even I think it's the Glock 23 is the double stacked mini 9mm. I was very accurate with that. The 43 takes more getting used to and more practice. I find that I have a tendency to pull my shots a bit low with it, and that's just going to be a matter of continuing to practice with it in general. Overall, I love the gun. It's, you know, they're Glocks. They're tools. They're not pretty, but they work, and it works well. And every time I pull the trigger, it goes bang. I'm very happy with it. And the only issues I'm having with it are my own issues as a shooter, and just innate issues with when you start getting into these very small guns. You do have to make allowances and make changes to grip and trigger finger placement and things like that. And that brings me to the next thing. In getting a 43, of course, I needed more holsters. I ended up getting a Comtac MTAC for my holster, and that is an inside-the-waistband holster that then has plastic loops that come up out of your pants and then clip over your belt. I really like this. Of course, it is not perfect. No inside-the-waistband holster actually is perfect if you're going to wear pants that fit you and everything else. But in the world of things that irritate me the least, I found this to be an excellent holster. I really like it. And for my wife, I ended up getting a Remora sticky holster. And those things are awesome. If you haven't checked them out before and you need a holster that is going to stay inside your waistband and you cannot, you don't have belt loops or you're not going to wear a belt or anything like that, it works out great. The reason I got it for my wife in particular is she likes to wear yoga pants. And you know what? I like it when she wears yoga pants. So I didn't want her to change. So I went on a mission to find a holster for her to fit her and fit her lifestyle, and ended up finding some videos online of a woman that was doing a review, and she was talking about that she could run with it and everything else. And that was one of the big concerns of my wife, was that she likes to run, and she runs a lot and runs marathons and everything. And she goes for runs in the park and things with her girlfriends. And I really wanted to carry her gun, and she really wanted to carry a gun. But for a long time, we had a hard time figuring out a solution. And the solution was the Glock 43, which is pretty lightweight, and a Remora holster, which has a stickiness to it. And even though you feel, she says, she feels like it flops around a bit and it always feels like it's going to come loose, it never actually does. It really grips onto her. So I cannot say nice enough things about that. We really like it. Remora holster. If you are a lady wearing yoga pants, or for some reason you are a guy wearing yoga pants, and going running, the Remora holster and a Glock 43 worked out really well for my wife. Next up in the world of holsters, you know, we had open carry pass. And while I didn't have a huge intention of open carrying, I don't have the issues with it other people seem to have, but at the same time, I didn't have a strong desire to open carry. I do open carry around the house, well, because it's my freaking house. But just in case, it was, let's be honest here, this was an excuse to buy a toy. I bought the Safariland 6360 Level 3 ALS Retention Duty Holster. I'd actually wanted one for quite a while anyway. I got it. These things really are freaking tough and bulletproof. I kind of beat up on mine and had somebody kind of yank me around by it and all the other things. And it stayed steady. It's a solid holster. I will say, though, it is not a holster you would get, put on your pants, and then just walk out the door. It is going to require a good amount of regular practice with the releasing the retention. I could see where if you did not practice with it and had to deploy your weapon in a self-defense situation, it would be really bad. So, but overall, if you are looking for a weapon, if you are looking for a holster for outside the waistband and is going to be out in the open and you are going to be in rough and tumble situations, I would highly suggest the Safariland 6360 awesome holster. Next up, the CERT pistol. The CERT pistol is, and that's CERT, S-I-R-T. I ended up getting one for myself, and my wife started playing with it, and she loved it so much, she stole mine. So I had to get myself another one because she promptly would not give it back. And let's be honest, again, it was an excuse to buy another toy. So I got another one, and these things are awesome. I've talked about them in the past. I have found that I am 100 times more likely to actually do dry fire practice, and my wife, too, are much more likely to actually get in dry fire practice using the CERT pistol. I find that using the CERT pistol, I am much more aware of mistakes I am making in my dry fire than when I do dry fire with an actual pistol. I think different reasons for that, but one of them is that as you pull the trigger, a laser comes out the other end and you can see the laser bouncing around even when you maybe can't see the front sight bouncing around. And it's also, I really like it because it keeps me from being concerned that I have done something dumb and forgotten to completely unload the gun. And this keeps that from happening. And it's fun. If we're watching TV or something, or if I'm sitting around listening to other podcasts, or if I'm sitting around listening to the news or something, I can do dry firing and play with it. And it's not a big deal. They're awesome. They're not cheap, but they are awesome. I did have one problem with mine. I dropped mine from about 3 feet and it threw off the cams inside and then in turn threw off the laser. It wasn't a huge big deal, but it is annoying because that's a lot of what you're paying for really is the laser action that happens there. I tried and tried and tried getting the laser back into alignment and I couldn't. And then I sent it back in with a note detailing what I had done, that it was my fault, and then I needed it fixed. And they sent it back, saying, okay, it's fixed now, enjoy, have a good time. And it really wasn't. They had brought it back into alignment closer, but not actually, it was still fairly off, and it's still not right. But at the end of the day, I still practice with it, and it doesn't ruin the experience for me, but it's not the same. So that is one thing. These are not super tough. I think they're as durable as one could actually expect them to be. But at the same time, I'm going to have to go back on that statement a little bit. If I'm going to drop it from 3 feet or a little bit more, you know, somewhere in the range of the average person's waistline, that is a problem. Because if you're practicing with these things and you're doing dry fire, and if you're being rough and really engaging in practice, I could see a lot of opportunities for that thing to fall. And you know, I am kind of disappointed actually in that, but overall it was a worthwhile investment. I have looked at their dry fire option for AR-15s, and that would be freaking awesome to be able to do dry fire practice without having to constantly rack the bolt on an AR-15 and just good fun. But they don't get good reviews. They actually get pretty bad reviews for that. So I have not purchased one of those. And if they come out with a new one, I will take a very long, hard look at it and probably get one. But for now, I'm holding off. Next thing is my wife bought me an Elfman trigger for my birthday. Every year for my birthday, she buys me something, a really awesome gift. Always ends up spending a little more money than she really should on me, but she is a wonderful woman. But anyway, Elfman triggers are really kind of pricey, but they are an awesome drop-in AR-15 trigger. I believe they also make AR-10 triggers and AK-47 triggers. What's different about them? They are very high quality, very high tolerance triggers that are all aluminum, and they use needle bearings. And the break on these things is about as close to a 1911, that true glass break feel as you can get in an AR trigger. It's pretty impressive. I have not had a chance to really run very many rounds through it and really function test it a lot, but so far I am freaking impressed. The other nice thing about it is the weight on these things is adjustable. So you can adjust it pretty far down to a point that is, in my opinion, actually unsafe, but you can also adjust it into sort of normal ranges. And what I ended up doing with mine, I ended up adjusting mine to the exact same weight as my Glock 19, my daily carry pistol, which I've had a little bit of work on. And so the trigger weight is a little lighter than normal. So for me, I just ended up adjusting this Elfman trigger to the exact same weight. And it's worked out well. I really like it. If you're looking to really spend some money on a trigger, an AR trigger, and you want a drop-in trigger, the Geissele's are very nice, don't get me wrong. But this Elfman trigger's really cool. And good customer service from all the reviews I was able to read online. And with getting a new trigger, well, of course, I needed a digital trigger pull gauge. And so I ended up getting a Lineman Electric digital trigger pull gauge. It's hard to really get very excited about a trigger pull gauge, but I will say, if you are looking for one, I really like this one. It does a good job. It has lots of cool features, and it seemed to be extremely accurate. So there isn't a whole lot of depth I can go into about a trigger pull gauge. So that's that. The next thing that I got this year, or in 2016, I should say, is the Dynaflex Platinum Hand Strengthener. I didn't like this thing. I thought it was interesting. I saw where it could be good. They're hard to describe on air. Essentially, it's a gyroscope on the inside, and it's got a pull string, kind of like an old fashioned lawnmower. And you rip this cord, and then you have to make these very specific set of motions with your hands to get the stupid thing going. I ended up getting pretty good at it, but the pull string was dumb, and there's a poor design where if you don't get that pull string out in time just right, the string itself is basically just a very thin shoelace, and there's nothing to really keep the thing from getting sucked back inside the hand strengthener and then getting jammed and bound up. And I had several times where this would happen, and I would end up having to spend 20 minutes trying to get the stupid string back out of it. And to me, putting beads on either end or something could have easily prevented that. I didn't like it. The other thing is, there was supposed to have been like a DVD or videos or something that came with it to actually explain A, how you're supposed to use this thing, and B, what all the different exercises they are. There was no DVD in mine, and I actually saw online there were a lot of other people that were like, there was no link to anything. There was no DVD, and I didn't necessarily need a DVD. I just needed the videos or something to read, and none of that was in there. And I thought that was really weird, and I never could find, and I saw a lot of other people complaining about it. If you're looking for some sort of hand strength or anything for shooting or whatever else you're doing, I would say avoid the Dynaflex and just pick up a nice pair of Captain Crunch hand strengthener things if you really want a really good hand strengthener. Next up, things I did not like. I got a book, Survival Hacks by Creek Stewart. Man, I should have asked for a refund. I'm not going to go on at length about this, but I thought the book was total garbage. It was, you know what it made me think of? It made me think of if Jonathan, Jason, and I all got together with a few bottles of whiskey and maybe some mind-altering drugs and decided to write a book of stupid survival tips and how-tos, this is what would have happened. They were awful. The diagrams and illustrations in the book were awful. There was just nothing good about this thing. And if I hadn't been so disgusted with it and set it aside and also been just so busy, I actually would have asked for a refund. And I don't think I've ever actually asked for a refund on a book before. I would have asked for a refund on that thing. It was a total piece of garbage. Let's see. Next up, I have actually been, as we moved into the new house and I have had a few honeydews to do, ended up with a few new tools. And one of them was I've been needing a new air compressor for a while. And so I ended up getting a DeWalt 6-gallon, 165 PSA pancake compressor. And this is kind of like the digital pull gauge. I guess there's not a whole lot I can really say about an air compressor, except it is a DeWalt. It is high quality. I liked it. There was a little bit of assembly I had to do when I got it out of the box. But overall, it wasn't a big deal. It was easy to put together. It runs like a freaking champ, and it powers anything that I've got around here. I'm not going to be running a plasma cutter or anything crazy, and I'm not going to be running a crew of 8 professional house framers or anything weird. But it runs a nail gun. It runs everything I've put on it so far. The thing's pretty good. So yeah, I really like it. Next up, and the last of the gear review pieces I have for you at this time, and Jonathan and I are going to do a gear review, I think, here soon, and we'll talk about some other stuff, but this is going to be the last one, and that is the Surefire EP4 Sonic Defenders Plus Filter Earphones. Ah, it's a mouthful. I wish people would make their product names a little bit shorter. Great earplugs. I wasn't expecting a whole lot of them. They're $12 earplugs. I mean, how excited can you get about earplugs? These things were really cool. They really did, as far as earplugs go, I mean, they did a much better job than any of the other earplugs I've ever had of blocking noise. I've kind of bad tinnitus, and so I am very particular about the hearing protection I wear because I don't want that tinnitus to get any freaking worse. And these things were awesome, and they had these cool little things that aren't super easy to use, but these kind of little ports, and you can unplug them, and it allows you to hear voices pretty well, even during gunfire. And I used them in an AR class, an ARCQB class, and they worked really well. I was able to hear instruction well, and they did a tremendous job of blocking out gunfire. They were pretty awesome. If you want a pair of earplugs that aren't crazy expensive but work really well, the Surefire EP4. I am not going to say this whole stupid name. Next up, skills for this year. This is the same thing. Last year, I had a bunch of skills on my list, and I often get the question about what skills to do or how to manage your skills. And one thing that I'm doing these days is being a little less aggressive with the amount of skills I set out in a year to try to learn or refine, and instead do a better job of focusing on what I'm doing. And so I am doing things more these days in a one at a time approach. And right now, I have gathered up all of the gear I need with Mark. Thank you again, Mark. Mark's help and also in the ammo reloading show and also just in the real world of talking about reloading stuff. I have gathered up all the necessary gear and supplies for ammo reloading, and that is really the main thing that I am going to be focusing on this year is my knowledge and my abilities and skills around ammo reloading, and may even get into bullet production and trying my hand in that and smelting and all these other fun things. And so that's really my focus. And that's also going to entail right now, I think the last step I have before I really get into that is actually going to be building a workbench here in the studio. And that has been, as I do have a tendency to obsess over things, I am obsessing a bit over that workbench, but hopefully here soon, now that things have calmed down a bit, I will be getting back into that. The next skill, as many of you know, the ITRH Urban Farm was shut down last year as life happened, and life does happen. Jason had a baby girl, or rather his wife had a baby girl. He was just involved in the making part. Just as a quick recap, the farm had gotten to the point where it was more than I wanted to handle by myself. And we'd also had a few instances where packs of stray dogs had gotten in and destroyed our entire chicken population, and they had killed a good number of our rabbits, and I just got to the point where I was just, without Jason there and everything else, I was just done with the project. And so we moved on, and I have not done anything in the way of gardening or livestock in about a year now. One of the things with moving and buying a new house, and this house is on a lot more land than our previous house, I have lots of room to do all kinds of cool garden and permaculture projects and stuff like that. One of the things I really promised myself is that I would wait a full year of being in this house before I started really doing anything like that, and just let my wife and I get settled in and stay focused on her and stay focused on a few things for our future and stuff like that. It has now been exactly 1 year, and I am now in the initial phases of planning a garden and getting out and getting my hands back in the dirt and getting back into growing some stuff. And so I will update y'all a little bit as things progress with that. The next thing that I'm going to be focused on this year is getting out and shooting more, both pistol and rifle. Probably one thing I need to focus more on personally is going to be rifle. I have not had much rifle time other than CQB class and a few trips to the range. I haven't gotten out and shot much rifle lately, and that is something I need to fix. And so that is something that I am going to be doing this year. And then my last focus of skill building, I suppose, is just going back and doing some personal, more foundation studies in building and growing businesses. I think it's always, no matter where you get in skills, it's always good to go back and re-examine and question whether or not you have everything you think you do down when it comes to the basics. And one of the things I'm doing with that, and y'all might find this useful, or at least just an interesting read if you're interested in business, is to check out The E-Myth Revisited. Excellent book, well narrated if you are into the audiobook sort of thing. I really enjoyed it. And so I am working on a new venture with a friend and also somebody who's been on the show, was a regular guest on the show many moons ago, Ron, who used to do the EMS Newbie podcast. And he and his wife came on and did the homeschooling episodes together. And he and I are working on building up a company for podcast coaching and consulting. And that's been really fun. And we've been using what both of us have taken away from the book E-Myth Revisited and a few other materials from the E-Myth and really using it. If you are interested in building a business, or if you are already building a business, I think even if you're far along in a business, there are a lot of things when you dive into the book that you go, oh my God, that is so true. And I never could figure out a way around that. I just thought that is a problem of being in business for yourself and starting a business. And it wasn't, and it really cleared up a few major pain points for me personally in business. And so that's having some fun with that. So those are the four, is that four? It's four things I am focused on this year that are survival skills. And if you think ensuring your financial future and doing something that you love at the same time is not a survival skill, ahaha. Yeah, no, you are mistaken. But let's see, plans for ITRH for 2017. I am considering, and I kick this around from time to time, but I am considering going back to this and adding an ITRH gear store to go beyond just the t-shirts and things like that that we sell, and actually selling the gear that I like and that I use. That is always a thing of mine. I think if we do end up going that route, it'll be in the next 3 to 4 months. And if we do, there will be an announcement around it. But that is a thing of mine. If it's not something I use, I wouldn't put it in a shop. I feel pretty strongly about that. I try to only bring products and things onto the show that I have personally used and can actually recommend if I'm in a situation where I am recommending them to y'all. And even when they're not stuff I'm necessarily recommending, I do try my best to do back research on things and not just have crap on the show. And I would look to do the same thing in the gear shop if I do it. One thing is I don't like dealing with physical products, but I think it may be manageable if I do a small select offering of some nicer, higher end gear that I would personally recommend and that I do personally use. Like everything from holsters to, if I could find somebody who made a bag I actually liked, I'd put bags in here and maybe a few other odds and ends and things and stuff. So we'll see where that goes. The next big plan is we had great success with the red ITRH ball caps. I freaking love mine, and I have yet to hear from somebody who doesn't love theirs. We did a limited run. They are going to stay, anytime we do these hats, they are going to stay pre-order only limited run. One, because I don't want to get stuck with a bunch of them. The t-shirts, I love having the t-shirts. I love making the t-shirts and love seeing people in the t-shirts. But I end up sitting on these a stockpile of these t-shirts for a year every time I order them. And anything I can personally do to limit that and limit how much cash I have into things like that, the better off I end up feeling about things. And to me, it just makes the hats special if they are always a limited run. So look for that in the next 2 to 3 months. There will be announcement on the Facebook page and through the email list as always. And that is going to be how you find out about it. So if you want to find out about it, make sure you connect with us through those means. And this last time we did a red hat. I am not 100% sure what color I'm going to do this time around. It may be black. It may be camo. I'm not 100% positive, but I will make up my mind here soon. So look for those coming. There will also be new patches coming to the store. Jonathan just harassed me about patches, and we haven't had patches in a long time. And I know I also just got an email the other day from someone that wanted patches. And so probably around the same time the hats come out, new patches will come out. Those will be something that we stock in the store. The next thing for ITRH in here in 2017 is a while back, I started up a project to put all of the ITRH episodes on YouTube. And I did, I think I got through about episode 81 loaded up onto YouTube. The whole project was a little, I liked doing it, but it was also a little weird to me since they were on YouTube, but they're not videos. They're just audio with these boilerplate images that have the show title on them and stuff. And I got busy and stopped doing it around episode 80 something. That I actually am in the process. I have an older iMac here that I tend to use as a second monitor, and I now have that thing loaded up and it is cranking out videos. And so I am going to revisit that project and start loading all of the past episodes onto YouTube, starting at wherever I left off, which was about episode 81, I think. And then those will be released two episodes a day until we get caught up to whatever the current episode is. So I guess in about 6 months, maybe 7 months, we'll be caught up, and the show will then come out the same day on YouTube as it does on the podcast. So look for that here. That project will start showing up on YouTube here in the next week. And that'll be fun. I think it'll be cool. And it's also, I would like to. I'm not going to commit myself to it this year because every year I say I'm going to do this, but this year we'll see what we do. It may just be some reloading videos or something as I bumble and fumble my way through learning to reload ammo. But I am really hoping to carve out some time to start making some actual ITRH videos to put up on YouTube. And the final thing is me and the mouse in my pocket, are doing some work to improve the audio quality of the show. And it is an annual thing I do to go through, and I try not to be completely insane about it, but to go through and improve the audio quality and rethink the way the content and the show flows and everything else. And that is something I'm in the process of doing actually right now. Y'all may or may not have, most people just listen to the show through car stereo or just normal headphones, and so they don't tend not to hear the difference, but every year I do a bit of work, and I am going through that right now. So if you've heard the audio get kind of a little too bright lately, that's been me trying to find a happy balance of working on the way the show is actually mixed after it's been recorded. And so I'm also going to be looking for some new content ideas this year and some new things I can introduce to the show. We've played around with a few things here in the last 4 to 6 months, and some things have worked and stayed, and some other things I got excited about at first and then they just didn't work out, and flaky things happened, and so they got pulled out of the show and tossed away. But that is the plan for the rabbit hole for 2017. For me, the 2016 gear reviews, my thoughts on politics, and all that fun and exciting stuff. Get links to everything mentioned in today's episode by going to intherabbithole.com/E203. And when you use those links, we do get a little something back from Amazon. Not much, but a little bit. And you know what? You don't pay any extra. So use our links. It helps out the show. And if you want to do a whole lot more and get a whole lot more from ITRH, go to ITRH.net. You see, the show is supported nearly entirely by listeners just like you, and they get cool membership benefits. Check it out today by going to ITRH.net. Again, that's ITRH.net. With that, we wrap up episode number 203. From the Lone Star State. Till next time, stay safe and sound.